Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Olin Krutz, score football analyst.
Bias towards offensive line. By that, I mean find you an excuse of why an offensive lineman missed the block or why their job is hard.
Chicago Bears legend, 6-time Pro Bowl center.
You talk about one of the greatest leaders I've ever been around. From football to the weight room to life, now he's in radio and he has the same passion.
Olin Krutz, every week with Mully and Haw. He probably doesn't like you, but he loves to talk Bears with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Olin Krutz joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. And every morning is like Christmas when we get to open up Olin under the tree. Olin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing good. Tough game for Chicago Bears. Tough game for the offensive line, obviously. As you guys know, I've been a part of a few of those, giving up, you know, especially I remember in the Giants with Jay Cutler giving up 10 sacks. And I've been a part of games where, you know, against the Seahawks in the year we went to the NFC Championship game. I think we gave up 9 that week. And it's always a collective problem. But before I keep going, I want to make sure my youngest of 6 kids today turns 9, so happy birthday to Leah.
There you go. That's all we need. You've got so many children. You must be celebrating birthdays all the time.
I'm impressed you can keep track.
That's great stuff. Olin, so help us out. How do you fix the line? No, I'm joking. I told David, for years, people have been asking you how to fix the line, and you're just kind of like, now's not the time. They really did sort of delay that process. And we broke down a little bit some of the thoughts they had this year. Obviously, Ryan Bates, a big part of it, although I think they had him as a center or were hoping he'd be a center. I don't know. As thorough as the problems seem to be on the offensive line, and I don't know how you would rate. I mean, at different points last night, it seemed like everybody was having a rough patch. Did anybody stand out as better than the rest to you?
Well, I think right after that 3rd and 12, where Caleb hits Carter there for the first down and they were playing zone, I think they only rushed 3 to Texans. I think D'Amico Ryan said, okay, that's enough. We'll go to man. Keenan Allen's not here tonight and we'll blitz, right? We'll send more than it can handle, or we'll just always send one more. And from then on, you know, it's always a combination, a collective problem. When you have 7 sacks, obviously going into the season, We have talked ad nauseum, Mali, especially me and you, about they are not building this offensive line, whether it be you take Gordon and Kyler Gordon, then you take Brisker, you take two secondary guys, and Philadelphia takes Cam Jurgens, who is now their starting center, right? And in the same draft, you take Velus Jones and there's Abraham Lucas, and he's starting at right tackle for the Seahawks. And I've been saying over and over again, at some point, you gotta put some assets into this offensive line, right? And we talked about it even when they took Tyreek Stevenson. You wonder why the secondary is so good, right? To say they can play man in the front of the defense. Eberflus has a lot of options there when he calls plays on defense. Why? They take Tyreek Stevenson a year after they take Kyler Gordon and Brisker, and right after Tyreek Stevenson gets drafted, guys, the number one center in the draft who's starting at center for the Giants right now, John Michael Schmitz out of Minnesota, gets drafted. Right. And then, you know, of course, you do take Darnell Wright, but why not pair him with your starting center that year? Why not pair him with a starting center that year? And then this year, of course, the Romo Odunze and Olu Fashanu, who's with the Jets now from Penn State, argument goes down. And you keep thinking, OK, man, like eventually this may catch up to you. Eventually building everywhere else. Then you sign Keenan Allen. Right. You trade for DJ Moore. Eventually you keep as an offensive lineman, because I was there. I was in Chicago when everybody would ask me what was wrong with the offensive line. You two guys would come up to my locker and say, Olin, what the hell's wrong with the offensive line? And I remember they took, you know, we had Brian Urlacher, a Hall of Fame football player. You knew he was a Hall of Famer when you played with him. They had Peanut Tillman. They had Lance Briggs. They had all these guys. We were struggling on the other side of the ball. So what did they do in the offseason? They went and got another Hall of Famer, and Julius Peppers, and put him with Brian Urlacher. And I'm sitting in my locker after the games, and they keep asking me, Olin, what is wrong with the offensive line? And I keep thinking, do you not see that we are not putting assets into this offensive line? Do you not see that I'm in my 12th or 13th year still trying to be one of the better players on this line? So last night, it looks like it caught up to them. Of course, you expected it to come, especially a young quarterback holds the ball a tick longer, doesn't make that throw to DeAndre Carter on third down, throws it behind DJ Moore for the interception. It just all is kind of coming together. And I also don't think, guys, when you watch it, it's a little too much shotgun for me. I think if people want to go look at the film, at the 9:55 mark of the second quarter, they run the ball downhill. Tevin Jenkins, Darnell Wright, Nate Davis, Coleman Shelton, they got the two defensive tackles on their back, right? Why not have a play action from under center? A little too much shotgun for me. Let the big boys go. Let them go forward a little bit more than side to side and pass blocking a lot of the game.
Well put, Olin. I think it is a matter of priorities. That's an off-season project. I think now it's too late in the season to go out and look and make a trade or a guy who's on the street. Those aren't going to help you necessarily. They could make some changes internally, potentially. But I think where you start the process is trying to fix this is that you can't let your next defensive coordinator pressure you 36 out of 37 passes the way D'Amico Ryans did. So schematically, I think you've got to counter. How can they counter? How can Shane Waldron help his offensive line protect, help his young quarterback from getting harassed? Are there things that he can do that they're not doing now to make it better?
You know, going into the game, you were worried, right? We talked about in the pregame, you're worried about the silent count. First time they had to deal with crowd noise. First, you saw that Nate Davis was in control of the silent count, and they had struggled with some, false start penalties. Procedural penalties. You know, I can remember, Darnell Wright having a few. The offensive line had a few. Backed them up. It's just tough on the road there with your first time. So hopefully, first of all, David, hopefully they just get a little better at handling that situation, right? And then what do you do? I mean, everyone's going to know what you're going to try to do now, right? You're going to try to get the ball out fast. You're going to try to run screens. You try to formation them to Shane Waldron's defense. He did have guys in, right? You saw Everett and Cole Kmet chipping on the first third down. They were trying to help in there. Now, as the game got going, they had to push the ball down the field. They had to get more guys out. It's always this game you play between, okay, do we have to, should we protect? And then you protect, and then no one's open. And then it's, okay, we got to get guys out because they're bringing too many guys. There's something called a green dog. And that just tells the guy who's covering the guy in the backfield. If the guy in the backfield you're covering blocks, you blitz. So eventually, at some point, you don't have enough guys if you just keep keeping everybody in. I think the old defense coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles was famous for this, Jim Johnson. Ron Rivera learned under Jim Johnson, and he would green dog us, and he would green dog all the time. And no matter how many guys you left in the block, as soon as you're a guy blocked, boom, you're green. You can go. you go. So eventually the ball just has to come out. Eventually they have more guys than you have. And I'm not saying this is on Caleb. The offensive line, especially in the middle, has to do a better job being more physical, keeping that pocket clean. Caleb did sometimes, guys, as you saw with Will Levis last week, drop out of the pocket, get himself into some danger, which you expect from a rookie quarterback. But, David, I mentioned that play at 9:55 in the second quarter. I really think if I'm on the Bears offensive staff, I use that play as an example and say, okay, we need a little more of this. We got to build our game plan around this. We got to run downhill behind Darnell Wright. I heard you guys talking about maybe move Tevin Jenkins to right guard. David, you're only about 5 months behind me, but that's okay. You want to steal that? Go ahead. It's your idea now. But look, that is something they have to play with stuff. Move guys around. Nate Davis, guys. I don't go much into this, but those guys got to play better football. They got to get the pads down. They got to get pad on the pad. They got to strain through guys. They got to be a lot more physical up front on their offensive line.
This segment with Olin Krutz is sponsored by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. Visit online or their Elmhurst and Lyle showrooms. I'm curious, you know, at what point is the tipping point? And I'm not sure we know. And by that, I simply mean when you see a guy take 7 sacks, when you see whatever it was, 11 quarterback hits on him, at what point do you say, okay, like one more of these and this is really not going well? It's almost like you kept – and I know he's partially responsible for protecting himself, and he has to get the ball out. And I understand that you're correct that the offensive coordinator needs to get more involved and maybe don't go with the shotgun stuff, because it seems like he's already pretty deep in the pocket before he even gets going, right? And I'm talking about the running game. Do they have the wrong running back? Why can't they run the football at all?
Yeah, it's when you watch it on film, it looks like sometimes, okay, we got the wrong identification. We're going to the wrong linebacker, right? And then the Swift, like we talked about, I think they missed a little bit of Roschon Johnson. I can see a little more Khalil Herbert, where you're just getting downhill. You're just getting the yards that are there. Sometimes I think Swift cuts a little early. Sometimes the offensive line misses. It's always a collective problem, guys, when you turn the film on, when you're struggling at certain things like giving up 7 sacks. And running the ball. And the fact that we talked about, do you have an elite offensive lineman right now that you run behind? Darnell Wright, he is a really, really good run blocker. You see it on film. Even I just watched the film this morning. He's putting certain guys on their back. I'll tell you guys a quick story about a collective problem. Played the Seahawks in 2010. I think you guys remember before. It's a long time ago. Now I'm getting older. I just want to talk about what can actually happen when it looks really bad, but maybe you can fix it. And we put in a certain protection. And the offense coordinator Mike Martz and Mike Tice were arguing about what the protection should and shouldn't be and who we should work to and who we shouldn't work to. And there was just a lot of confusion during the week. And eventually when you got there, no one really knew who to block, who had what guy coming off the edge. We ended up giving up 6 sacks. We cleaned that up, end up in an NFC championship game. So first thing they got to do is everybody got to get on the same page, figure out what their identity is. What is your identity? And I go back to that play again, 9:55 of the second quarter. And maybe that can be your identity. Maybe that can slow things down for everybody. Not everything has to be 35 motions, 2 to 3 choices on every run play, right? You know, the one, the Roma Dunze, the touchdown he missed, Angelo. I think that's a run pass option, guys. Right there, I'm saying to myself, man, let's run the ball downhill and score, right? And even on the next play, they run the ball like it was going to be, I think it was going to be like a quarterback read, a quarterback counter. Swift is doing like a sweep, jet sweep motion. You see where I'm going. There's a lot of this trick-em stuff going on.
Yep.
There's a lot of that going on. I think sometimes, man, you go downhill. Even they got to 31, guys, after the big fight on the sideline.
Yeah.
And I am saying to myself, your O-line, they're fired up. They're in a fight on the sideline. Run the ball damn downhill behind them. And let them get physical on this number 0 who just punched Roschon Johnson in the face on the sideline.
Wow.
Like eventually, if you want that to be your culture, if you want your attitude to be physical football, you have to call those plays and just stare at guys if you miss. Right on 4th and 1, you just say, man, we know what they're going to run. They know what we're going to run. We're still going to run it. And if we don't get it, I'm just going to stare at you on the sideline and say, we're either the guys we say we are or we're not. But I'm not going to try to trick them on every play. And sometimes you try to trick guys on every play. That run game on the road, if you start not being able to trick them, you cannot go back to just physically dominating them. Now your offensive line is either finesse blocking on rundowns or they're pass blocking. And they never get a chance to get physical, go downhill, put a little weight forward on their front hat, get their pad on their pad, and hit somebody in the mouth.
I think they came out in shotgun after that fight. I think
I think it was second and 15. Yeah. So, of course.
And they
threw
still,
it to Swift and he got to third and one. I just think that third and one was a chance. You know, David,
right.
I think it was a chance to call a play and say, man, everyone's pissed off. We just had a big fight on the sideline. Let's go ahead and get this game going downhill a little bit.
It's a great point, Olin. I wonder now, moving forward, you know how this works, especially in Chicago. The evaluation of the offensive line is something we see and we want to hear answers for, but the evaluation of the quarterback is an ongoing conversation, especially when it's Caleb Williams and so much hype accompanied his debut in his first season. What's the fairest way to evaluate Caleb Williams after two games?
He's a young quarterback, and if you look at the history of the NFL, young quarterbacks struggle, right? So you just have to go, to be fair to him, you got to look at Tom Brady and how long it took him. You got to look at Peyton Manning and how long it took him, and look at other quarterbacks who have had success. You know, up there in Green Bay, they let their quarterback sit, and they develop. Here, we play them right away, and they're going to struggle early. And anybody who maybe didn't see this coming, I think we're all hoping, right? We're waiting for that quarterback to change our luck, to change the course of this franchise. But he's got to go through these growing pains, right? He's got to realize, he's got to go out there, he's got to see the speed of the NFL. I couldn't imagine you guys playing quarterback in the NFL. I remember my first few downs in the NFL at center, how fast it felt. I remember Mike Wells almost breaking my neck because he slammed me on my head. I remember playing against Gilbert Brown. I remember Tony Wise telling me I got to move him off the ball. I remember sitting on the bench thinking, I don't know if I can ever move that guy even an inch, right? I couldn't move him anywhere. So there's things that he does have to learn technique-wise, seeing the game. The good thing now, guys, is if you're the best thing I heard last night, Chris Collinsworth said, and like you guys know, you guys get behind closed doors. Coaches, I do. I talk to some guys. When you got them off record, they'll say things a little differently than they say when a camera's on, when a microphone's on. The best thing I heard Collinsworth say is when he got there Monday, the coaches said that Caleb was looking at the film. He was taking hard coaching. He was learning from his mistakes against the Titans. And he's got to do that again. And he's going to have to do it every week for a while, man, until the sun starts shining again. Sometimes in the NFL, we have an old saying, you got to learn to love to be miserable, because it is miserable. It is miserable when someone figures out what you're not good at and they make you keep doing it. And a game like last night is miserable, man. It's like there's no answers. But they got to stick together. I know it sounds cliche, but they got to stick together. And if you didn't think you were going to go through this in the NFL, if you look at the history of the NFL, besides the guy he played against last night, there's been one guy. There's been one guy out of all the years in the NFL. There's been one guy who's had a good season as a rookie quarterback. So you could see this coming. You knew he was going to struggle early, especially against DeMeco Ryans. Anybody who didn't looked at this schedule said, man, this is going to be a tough game. Actually, the score was closer than I thought it was going to be. The defense held him in the game. That touchdown late in the second half the first half was a good touchdown by the Chicago Bears offense. I thought Shane Waldron got a little more comfortable in his play calling on that drive. Obviously, DeMeco Ryans makes adjustments at halftime. But, David, this is the process, man, and he's got to go through this process, keep his head about him, keep his teammates moving in direction, and be the first guy today. Be the first guy in the building, back to work, correcting your mistakes.
He may be in the training room, Olin. I mean, holy God.
Yeah, welcome to the NFL, man. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying, though. You have these, like, little opportunities to become a leader.
Yes.
You have these little opportunities for your teammates to see you, because that's what everybody's saying this morning, Molly. He's going to be a sore, right? He's going to be hurt. Poor Caleb. He got hurt too much. If you're in that building bouncing around, hey, man, let's get back to work. You look like you feel good. Guys are wondering, gosh, what's wrong with this guy? He got beat up last night, but you're showing everybody, look, I'm a leader of this team. I'm ready to get better. Yes, you got bruises. Yes, you got hit. Show up that building. Have energy. Get everybody moving in the right direction. Let's get ready for the Indianapolis Colts. I can't wait to get back on that field and play a game.
I thought one of the big moments for him was when they were offside and they get sent back, and then he runs and gets down to like the 2 or 3 yard line. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, frankly, I was just like, wow, what a tough play that was. Mm-hmm. And then a friend of mine texts me and says, oh my God, did he not watch Tua? What the hell is he doing putting his shoulder down and trying to get an extra yard? And I thought, I don't know that you can play that way. I don't know mm-hmm. that you can worry about yeah. what happened to someone else. It was almost mm-hmm. like a good thing to see him not care, if that makes mm-hmm. any sense.
But I also think, Molly, that was a called quarterback draw.
Yeah.
Right? I think they called that quarterback draw. If you watch the tackles, they took they call it two kicks and send a DN by. And I think they called that draw. I could be wrong, but it looked like that on first glance of the play. So they called it, and like you said, he ran it. And he fought for yards and wanted to get in the end zone. And again, guys, don't think your teammates don't notice, right? Don't think the building doesn't notice. I was on my couch like hell yeah, Caleb. Yeah. Run that damn ball, right? Run it down their throat. And he did. And like you're saying, that kind of stuff will earn respect. But no, you can't play in the NFL. If you're thinking like that, you might as well hang them up, clean your shoes off, get the grass out of the bottom of your cleats, put them up in your office somewhere.
Oh, and great stuff, and congrats on the Illinois victory.
Oh, appreciate it, man. You guys have a great day.
That is Olin Kreutz. Great stuff, as always, from Olin. And, yeah, the Illini, man.
3-0. They're 24th in the country now.
Pretty damn good.
Pretty good start for Brett Bielema.
That's right. All right. Will you –
Bigs time. It's Bigs time, and that segment with Olin Kreutz was sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868.
Bigs time next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend. He joins us now in the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check it out, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you're still in Houston. You're getting out of there this morning. Tell us, what was it like? How was the post-game? We watched the game. I thought maybe one of the stories we've yet to talk about that we probably should mention is the Bears got 15 first downs in the game, as did the Texans, but the Bears had five by penalty. So there was some defensive holding that gave them first downs. There was a big pass interference play that gave them a first down. They did not impress particularly with their offense. And there were so many 50-yard field goals. I don't know how you feel about that idea. But they did score a touchdown. They did drive and get a touchdown. And that seems like faint praise.
Yeah, I mean, it was another really bad offensive performance. They've got, 353 yards offense through two games, which you go through the Super Bowl era, and I think it's the fourth time since the Bears have had that little yardage through the first two games. Guys, I've seen bad quarterback play. And I'm not saying this is a result of bad quarterback play, but the point I'm making is I've seen bad offenses that struggle to get points, struggle to get yardage, and this is such a mess right now all the way around that it ranks in that category. And when I went over to the Texans locker room last night, Danelle Hunter, who's had an awful lot of success playing against the Bears, said that he really felt like last week's game for the Texans against the Indianapolis Colts prepared them for this, okay? That that Anthony Richardson is a super athletic quarterback that gave them some problems at times moving around the pocket, getting out of the pocket, and that experience going through that opening game was better than anything the Texans could have done in practice to prepare for Caleb Williams and the Bears, which I thought was an interesting point, because then I'm talking to Will Anderson, the second-year defensive end, and we're having a little chat about the success they had rushing the quarterback. And I said, well, geez, you guys get seven sacks and you really get after it. And he says, yeah, and we got 11 quarterback hits and 36 pressures. He had already seen the stats.
Well, he had to be proud of those stats because it dictated the course of the game. And, Brad, it was one-sided. It was lopsided in terms of the way the pass rush dominated the Bears' offensive line. And yet this morning, ChicagoTribune.com, your 10 thoughts, you kind of lead with a plea for perspective, which is interesting. It isn't necessarily a crisis at this point. How are you coming out of this game thinking about the Bears, and what about the outcome, if anything, changed your way to view this season?
I don't know if it changed my way to view this season, because they're going to be bringing the quarterback along. I just think, it's really easy to win or lose, good or bad, get way carried away the morning after the game, right? And that's our job some of the time, right? To you overanalyze it and that type of thing. But I'm also a little perspective. You're not going down to the offensive line store and getting yourself three or four new starters. You're not trading for starters. They're not available on the trade market. So they're going to have to ask themselves some difficult questions at Hallis Hall and come up with a way to be honest about the evaluation, okay, and determine what they do. Does it mean swapping out Nate Davis for Matt Pryor? I don't know, and I would highly doubt they'll have any answers to that question later today. Might not even have any answers to that question come Wednesday, but it's something they got to talk about, Dave, because what they're rolling out there right now isn't good enough. It would be wonderful if you could identify one or two guys on the line and say, hey, if they could fix this, they'll be okay, because maybe you consider a personnel move. Maybe schematically you can do something to protect a guy that's struggling a little bit. Last week they had a very difficult time on the interior of the line against a couple monsters for the Titans that are so good the Bears probably won't see an interior line of that caliber until they play the Washington Commanders in late October. Last night they struggled with the edge, didn't have answers for Hunter, for Anderson. It was a mess across the board. I've got to go back and watch it, guys, but I'm pretty sure Caleb was getting hit a couple times when they went max protect, which when that's happening, you've got some big time problems. I'm sure Olin had some pretty cogent thoughts for you guys already on the line play.
According to Next Gen Stats, the Texans blitzed 41.7% of Williams' dropbacks, and had great success while doing so, and that was the most that the coach has ever blitzed. Is that now to be expected? Right now, are the Colts kind of got their heads together, figuring out various blitz packages that they can use against Caleb Williams? And you know, according to Next Gen Stats, they said that he was 3 of 12 for 15 yards with a pick when he was being blitzed, and 5 of his 7 sacks came that way. He was 20 of 25 for 159 yards, also with a pick, when he was not being blitzed.
Yeah, well, that's going to be a blueprint until the Bears prove that they can stop it. How do you stop it? Well, you burn the blitz, right? You pick it up, you win your one-on-one route, and it turns into a big play. And I'm talking a 25-yard play, a 35-yard play, a touchdown. You know, you stretch the field, you get explosive plays, because they're not running the football at all. I think Eberflus used the term okay, but not good enough to describe the running game last night. No, what it didn't even come close to okay.
Bad.
It was awful. They've got the double whammy, just nothing in terms of explosive plays in the passing game. They're averaging less than 3 yards a play, which is the worst figure in the Super Bowl era through two games for the Bears. You know, if when you're averaging less than 3 yards a play, I could do the math for you guys. You got to go to fourth down to move the chains if you're not exceeding the average on any of those first three downs. Brutal.
So, Brad, obviously after the game, there's a lot of stuff going on, but during it, it seemed as if there might have been some communication issues between Caleb Williams and his receivers. DJ Moore looked a little frustrated at the end. You saw the disconnect with maybe some throws that guys maybe didn't break where Caleb Williams thought they would break. Any conversation about that? And is that just something that is a product of the inexperience and the inconsistency?
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing I think you're going to run into with rookie quarterbacks and start number two, win, lose, or draw, you're going to have that kind of stuff happen and probably gets magnified in losses that are certainly frustrating like this one, because with a minute to go in the game, they, believe it or not, they had a chance to win it. That's how well the defense performed against DJ Stroud. And so I think you could sense some of DJ's frustration, and he talked a little bit about after the game about the missing piece, and it's like, well, okay, what's the missing piece here? Because it sort of looks like pieces, plural, you know, and he went on to talk about getting everybody on the same page. You know, fourth down and 17 with, I think it was about 32 seconds to play, Caleb missed Rome Odunze on the Houston sideline, and he looked like he was going to be in range to maybe move the chains, definitely catch the ball, get out of bounds. And Rome said what he heard was running out and up, and or a corner and go, and what Caleb threw was a corner. And Rome took that on himself, said that was his mistake, and it was loud in there, but said that you know, they were off on that play and that it was his fault. But I think that kind of stuff's going to continue to happen on occasion, and that's sort of natural for a young quarterback in a new offense for everybody, right?
Yep.
That still lacks an identity. Cole Kmet talked about that after the game as well. We talked about that this past week, that you couldn't figure out what the Bears wanted to do identity-wise against the Titans, and that remains an issue here as you look ahead to week three.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Est Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. Am I wrong to even ask the question if maybe they signed the wrong running back in free agency? And by that, I just mean you've got a guy in Swift that will make a cut sometimes before he's even at the line of scrimmage, and you might need more of a straight line guy. I'm wondering, how close were they with Barkley? Was that a serious consideration, and how much better would they be if they had signed someone like Barkley or Aaron Jones? I don't know who.
Yeah, I don't know who would make that running game look good or acceptable right now behind the offensive line through 2 weeks. So that's probably money well saved right now. You just want to see that group up front, and that involves everybody. You know, that involves the tight ends, it involves the wide receivers, the blocking involves the running backs on pass plays. You know, they've got to get better across the board at that.
This segment with Brad Biggs, sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Okay, Biggsy, in a minute, Tyrique Stevenson had a good conversation with you after the game. What did he learn from his experience last night?
Yeah, I think Tyrique, you know, it's a situation where his development, guys, is fast-tracked because of the amount of action he's getting. Stroud tried to shy away from Jalen Johnson. I think we're going to see every quarterback do that. So he's getting an abundance of opportunities in these ball games, as he did a year ago. The difference being, right now, through two games, he's playing with much, much better eye discipline than he did at this time a year ago. He's got a much improved understanding of route concepts and what he's going to see and what they're trying to do to him. So imagining where he'll be at the end of this season, I think it's fun to do. Probably still going to be a bit of a roller coaster ride for the Bears. He is going to be a little up and down, but he's going to get so many opportunities that I think it's fair to say that he's fast-tracked here in terms of development, because you're not waiting to see how he's going to respond to certain situations. He's getting those certain situations on a week-in and week-out basis.
All right, buddy. I mean, I dare ask this question, but, you know, Justin Fields is 2-0. I think Luke Getsy is 1-1. I don't know. Does that mean anything to you?
No. The Bears. Yeah,
no. No. Nice try, Mully. No.
David. You would have spit out your coffee if you had it. Oh, God.
Yeah, the Bears would have slightly better rushing numbers if they had Fields at quarterback right now, but otherwise it wouldn't look much different.
Safe travels, Brad. Good
Thank
stuff.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Just have a great day.
I didn't say anything.
You should have seen that look. It was.
I didn't say anything.
No, but you would have spat out your coffee.
Good stuff from Biggs. I learned a lot there. A lot to cover.
I love a little mugging.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with mugging a guy. 312-644-6767.
Something about the broadcast, I want to ask you real quick when we come back if you saw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score.
Watch what happens in the scrum here. Alshire gets up and a punch straight into the face of Roshan Johnson, who was not in the game. He was just standing on the sideline. Meantime, the Texans full of Funakasi is having to be pushed away from the Bears as he was continuing the conversation on the field. And this has not calmed down yet at all. Right around the 40-yard line here, this is not settled for a bit. Terry, can they throw a flag on that punch by replay?
New York cannot get involved in that because no flag was thrown on the play. They cannot create a foul for that punch. That will have to come during the week through discipline. No foul can be called here by New York.
Wow. Roshan Johnson, that was biggest hit he took of the game.
That is ridiculous that they cannot discipline them in game, throw them out of the game, and assess a penalty because they didn't see it. That was ridiculous on the sidelines.
So let me ask you. They had 22 carries, okay? 14 by Swift, 5 by Caleb, 1 by Homer, and 2 by Herbert.
Yeah.
What?
Well,
what
you're on DeAndre Johnson? Swift. I wouldn't give up
on
him yet.
I'm not giving up on him. I'm just wondering where's Roshan Johnson.
I thought he was
a straight line runner.
If he's active, I'm wondering why he's not playing. Maybe he's not 100% healthy. Okay. But if he isn't 100% healthy, he shouldn't be active.
There you go.
He can't take a hit though.
Apparently,
he's still standing.
So you wanted to talk about the broadcast?
Yeah. So before the game, before kickoff, they cut away right before. They went to commercial, and I don't know if you saw it or not. I don't know how closely you were watching. You were doing your pregame show.
I was doing the pregame show.
And it was a really good pregame show. I was listening and watching at the same time.
Thank you, buddy. It was excellent.
Excellent job with you and Pat Manley and Olin Krutz.
Just award-winning.
It's a staple every pregame. They showed in the front row, and like, is that Rick Hahn?
No.
The White Sox general manager.
In Houston?
At the Bears game in Houston.
And it was Rick Hahn?
I said, is that Rick Hahn? And I tweeted out, is that Rick Hahn? And then I texted Rick Hahn. And I said, so that's where you are. Great to see you at the Bears game. You were in every living room thanks to NBC, assuming it was him. He texts back, thanks, David, so much for keeping a low profile for the year. Hope you're well. It was Rick Hahn at the Sox game in Houston. Now that
it looked like with his son, right?
I think it was probably with his son.
He had a Bears hat on.
Does his son attend Rice? I think that might be something.
Brother Rice?
No. Rice University, possibly.
Stuck in.
Listen, I can understand why Rick Hahn would like to hang out in Houston, fond memories of the city.
Sure.
If you're a White Sox, former White Sox general manager. But I just wondered if you had seen that. No? Being the Sox guy with the eagle eye.
Here's the thing. I was, like, the Cubs game went late. So, unfortunately, we couldn't get on our scheduled time. The last inning of that game took about 6 days, God's sake. It was ridiculous. And no one scored. There was just a bunch of people on base. And we were just kind of like, get this over with, will you? At any rate, so we did not get on till like almost 6 o'clock.
Okay.
We got on late, and then we had so much to get to. It was just...
So you weren't paying attention necessarily to the pregame stuff.
I didn't see any...
I got
back upstairs in time to watch the game.
It was just before the game.
Yeah.
And it was just an odd... thing to see. You don't expect to see that on your television screen.
Yeah, I didn't.
Like, well, where has he been?
When I got upstairs and I had the TV waiting for me, so I probably should have gone back. But they were talking to C.J. Stroud, and then the game started right.
Yeah, they had a big, obviously, breakdown of C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams. A comparison. They talked to the both quarterbacks' moms, which was a sweet little look at their upbringing and how they both were destined to play quarterback in the NFL.
So that's why they were stuck on the broadcast. They were stuck on talking about the quarterbacks in a positive light.
Yes.
Okay.
They were.
I was wondering. I knew there had to be something.
It was a typical pregame emphasis. You knew that was coming. And they did a nice sit down with Caleb Williams. And then all of a sudden I see there's Rick Hahn. Well, out of context.
Let's quickly get to Jake. He's listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Jake.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to chime in on, I think it was a comment that, Mully, you made about if DeAndre Swift was the right signing or not. I mean, how can we even tell? How many times in the first 2 weeks has he been hitting behind the line of scrimmage?
No question. What I meant was they needed more of a straight line guy because the way their running game is working, they are handing off the ball about 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah,
that's all I was asking about, just stylistically.
Okay.
If a guy that's cutting,
you're not giving up on him yet.
No. And he made a great one-handed catch, and he did a couple things.
He's a pretty good back.
I know that he can do a lot of different things. But if they are, as Olin mentioned, insisting on operating out of shotgun, it just occurred to me that, would they be better off with more of a straight line guy as opposed to a cut before you get going? It seems like he's more of a guy that's going
to
be
maybe as a compliment to him. Perhaps you need that element.
Maybe if Roshan Johnson ever
possibly
stops getting popped in the face.
Well, I'm
joking. It's not his fault.
It's not his fault. He was standing there and got punched.
How absurd!
And the officials ignored it. That's going to be a fine. Not for Roshan Johnson.
So that's going to be a fine. Okay. I thought you were saying that's going to be fine.
No, that's going to be a fine.
Yes.
For the offender.
I agree.
And Roshan Johnson can give the Bears that element. I think Khalil Herbert could give him that element. He's more of a downhill runner, as you say. But I think it's not DeAndre Swift's fault that he has not had any room to run.
I wasn't trying to blame him. I was just wondering stylistically if this was working at this point in the season.
Nothing's working this point of the season. There's only been three teams in the Super Bowl era who have gotten off to worse offensive starts in terms of yardage.
I just worry when you have a running back that's going to need 100 carries to get 100 yards. That's all I worry about. Joking! It's Mully and Haw. We've got DJ Moore next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nor Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.